It's now time for the Weekly Word with Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of the Word Merchant. It's now time for the Weekly Word. We have Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, on the line with us here at the Building the Bakken, the Crude Life Media Network. We really don't get into politics too much, but that doesn't mean we don't talk policy. And one person we like to talk policy with is a Professor Stephen Hines, traveling the country, talking to colleges all over the place. Now, where? Now, last time we spoke, you were going to Tulsa. Where are you going to head this time?
Actually, I'm teaching a class up in Wisconsin at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh tonight, Jason. And it was going to be wide open discussion, but I suspect we'll end up talking about, you know, what's happening with the Clean Power Plan. I don't do politics myself, by the way. I'm much more of a policy wonk. But I read the original document starting, they started writing it in 2009, that is the EPA. And they did three iterations. The last one was released in 2015. It immediately went before the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court decided they would wait until the next session to make any decision, and then Antonin Scalia died. But right now, it is very likely they're going to be picking it up in the Supreme Court now that the Supreme Court's back in session.
No,
It is very likely that that the Clean Power Plan will be declared unconstitutional, especially with the new Supreme Court justice.
I was going to say, I'd even go a step further to say that it seems to me, as far as the headlines I've read now, I've only seen the statements issued by the North Dakota delegation on this, but I haven't talked to them yet. And so I thought I'd talk to you first, because I know you scour all kinds of different areas outside of the Bakken. And so we're talking, you know, national policy here, but Scott Pruitt, you know, he came in for a cup of coffee. He didn't really talk to anybody except for the delegation, and then he took off. And my thought is that this is going to be some good news for the energy industry with scaling back some of the things that they publicly stated were just overreaching. Am I out of line for thinking that?
No, I think the number I've seen right now is that it's going to save Americans about $33 billion a year because just about what it's going to cost the end user. But then there's, you know, legal costs. There's all kinds of other expenses. But, you know, the real reason the EPA got away with this, because they're required to do a cost-benefit analysis of every regulation they do. Originally, they did one, and they only came up with $8 million worth of benefits, and that was for pregnant women, and I'm not making this up, pregnant women who ate fish from the mercury and fish from Lake Michigan. Right after that, they hired Harvard University and Syracuse University to do a study on the indirect benefits. Unsurprisingly, the Harvard and Syracuse pretty much wrote a document or a study that the EPA wanted, which said that, in fact, that American people would save money over time off of the Clean Power Plan. And so that's been the original battle. Now it's getting in the weeds. A lot of different environmental groups have started suit against Scott Pruitt. I want to get back to Scott Pruitt, by the way. Gina McCarthy, unless she wanted to do a press conference and something she wanted to promote, she never talked to anybody when she did any visiting. So that's kind of Scott Pruitt was really doing more of a research project by coming up to North Dakota, which I think was very favorable for the state, because he talked to all of the the important people at state government and utility commission, etc. So he's been really sort of, you know, accused of not being accessible, but the truth is Gina McCarthy was no more accessible in her time except when she wanted to. And you notice that that Scott Pruitt, I think it was in South Carolina, right, where he talked about putting an end to the action of the Clean Power Plan and all the things that were happening around them, and He did it, you know, in a public setting. So, which is, you know, like it or not, the agencies are political, Jason.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, I was even just thinking while you were talking that, you know, I don't get political on this show, but anything to slow down the machine of government, I seem to get behind a lot more than not. So, I mean, I of course, that's what probably landed me doing an energy show. And so I wanted to ask you, what you mentioned the Lake Michigan mercury thing as far as one of the kind of a specific clean power plan takeaway. Oh, it's hilarious. But let's look at the flip side of that. You know, what would be the biggest changes? What do you think the biggest takeaway is? You know, I'm kind of looking at my notes here, and I see clean power plan, and I'm thinking, man, if I just put a T there, and I'm thinking of the new refinery and the coal plants and that sort of thing, is this going to have any impact on them in any way?
You know, I think it's going to affect the states and the regions and, you know, and the national economies. And it's going to be all positive as far as that goes. North Dakota, you know, they, including the new refinery, I think it will, let's say, other, you know, it will take away a lot of the paperwork and a lot of the administrative costs that a state or the new refinery would have to pay just to sort of get, you know, sometimes even temporary approval. Now, I know you know this, but DAPL, the Dakota Access, they've been running, what, since June? It's still in court, and the justice who has overseen this, I think it's in the appeals court, has said that they're going to not make a decision on this until next year. And they, in other words, they'll be running for about a year, and they may have to shut it down. Because, again, because of the ongoing legal activity by a couple of the tribes, but really more importantly behind the large environmental groups, Sierra Club, NRDC, EDF, and the like, which I wanted to go back to Scott Pruitt. The reason that Scott didn't meet, have a public setting, is because the environmental groups already had hundreds of people there that were going to scream in his ear. And he's no fool. He, you know, they had just they had volunteers there that were going to really give it, rough him up.
Professor Stephen Hines, the Weekly Word is what's going on here. He's the word merchant, and we don't talk politics here on the program. We'd like to talk policy, so that's why we brought in the good professor, who speaks all over the country, really, in front of classes about energy issues and policy, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about the clean power plan a little bit. And if you go to thecrudelife.com, you can check out his latest weekly word, the EPA Gina McCarthy fiasco, or scientist, or whatever you want to call it, I guess. But talk to me a little bit about preview that column, or talk about what inspired you to write that last week.
Well, you know, she has been, since she was out of office, I think was, what was that, 20th of January, she has been very active speaking out and writing about keeping the Clean Power Plan and all of the positives, as she saw them, by keeping the Clean Power Plan and making it the law of the land. Now, the major problem she had is, all they have to hang on to is an executive order from the President Obama, which means it isn't a law. So she has been out speaking, but I don't even know how many articles she's written, Jason, but it's well over 10. She's given maybe 100 interviews over this last 8-9 months, and they've all sort of been the same thing, and really talking about people who don't support the Clean Power Plan as deniers, when the truth of the matter is a good portion, you know, probably only 10 or 15% of the United States are deniers. The people who are also unwilling to go ahead and let it be made into law are the people that have doubts about the law itself or the regulation itself. And they also have doubts about the urgency of passing anything as sweeping as the Clean Power Plan. But she tipped me over about 3 days ago because she did it, I think she did a speech at Columbia Law School. And it was kind of the same old thing, Jason. It was filled with sort of half-truths and inaccuracies, and it had the tone of some kind of moral superiority. And one could argue that you and I and what's happening in the Bakken and in North Dakota have a right to be morally superior for a lot of reasons, including emission reduction. And that really was the major reason for the Clean Power Plan was to reduce emissions. And, of course, you guys have been, a part of that movement, I think, in the last decade. I think that America has reduced their emissions by 14 or 15%. So it's already been going on. And, in fact, it didn't need any help from federal government and their bureaucracies and their, let's just say, their inexperience about the real world and economic development.
For more information on Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, for his contact information. That's our website, thecrudelife.com, for links to Professor Stephen Hines's contact information. And that was Professor Stephen Hines with The Weekly Word.